It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF's phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Call toll-free 1-800-662-7979. And for mobile phones, it's star 680. And now, Doug and Linda Lewis and Money Matters.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment and financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will? What's a living will? And yes, it really can confuse you. But you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities?
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Investments through HBEC Inc. HBEC Inc. and Lewis Financial Management are not related entities.
Well, Doug, it's definitely a rainy day out there. And if you're out on the road, to all of our listeners, safe driving. And stay warm for the night.
I think winter is trying to arrive again.
Yes, indeed it is. It's chilly, but not that bad. But yeah. I think we could have some serious weather tonight. So be careful if you're out there. We could get some ice through the night.
You know, the good news that's happening, the bad news might be the weather, but the good news that's happening, Linda, is the investment world is, to some people, doing exactly what it's supposed to do. To others, it's defying all odds. But we are really, the market closed almost the highest it's been since 2008. And in the midst of all the uncertainties internationally and so forth, our portfolios are really doing well.
Yes, indeed. It was a historical week. The market's up again close to 13,000.
We're very, very close again.
Well, Doug, an interesting article that I saw, and it was entitled The New Generation Gap.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that article?
Was that the article in Smart Money?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. That was very interesting. That really was. We have a generation gap between investors and advisors was the, I think, the emphasis of the article. If I remember correctly, almost 30% of wealthy young investors choose not to use a financial advisor. That was the result, I think, of the study. And of those, a huge percentage said they can get better returns on their own money. And then there was this statement in there that said that they described themselves as conservative, which is, you know, it's for younger investors, ones between, say, the ages of 18 and 45, I think that would be the study that was done, to think of them as saying we are conservative, that brought a surprise because it's a stance that's counter to what most advisors would suggest for investors in that stage of life. Anyway, I thought it was very interesting. The whole story of the article, I thought, was written towards advisors is what it was. And it was sort of letting the advisors out there know that the financial industry is really not, it's not reaching the people that need the help.
Well, there are certainly a lot of young adults that are in that age range that are either coming into money or that...
they're in their prime earning years.
Exactly. Or you think about the Facebook, Google people. They have really come into something at such a young age. And it is important to do financial planning, even at the earlier stages of life, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, I remember that they said that there was a 38-year-old pediatric physician in Philadelphia who said he felt like a small fry when he went looking for an advisor. He said, I didn't have enough money for them to care about because, you know, he had less than $1 million. And I think that's the gist of the problem out there. Many of these so-called financial advisors still are admitting that they really are looking for 50-year-olds with $1 million to invest. And they're missing a market of people that want help. The problem, I think, is that the ones who are calling themselves fee-only planners aren't really financial planners. They are money managers. And so these fee-only planners, they're not interested in helping that 38-year-old pediatric physician in Philadelphia. But on the other hand, he's looking for financial planning. And so I liked the emphasis of the article. It was written mainly as a wake-up call to the financial planning profession. And what he said, the writer, I believe, said that advisors could do much more to connect with the younger generation if they would tone down the product pitch, adapt a fee structure that will attract less affluent audience, and try to integrate yourself more naturally into the client's life. And when he put it like that, it really was defining what is financial planning. And I think that's the real disconnect right now, Linda. I do believe there is a generation gap between those who are looking for financial planning, which is much more than money management, and those who are delivering money management but calling themselves fee-only planners. There's the problem right there. The financial planning approach is dealing with your cash flow, with your budget issues, is dealing with your investments, yes, but what about your estate? What about your wills? How about preparing your children for their future? All of these things are part of, I think, what the writer was saying is being missed. And so this generation is getting very disenchanted. They're not finding ones out there that will help them.
Well, it's important to have that view, and especially at a young stage of life, because you have time on your side.
I mean, I when I think back of the number of younger couples that we worked with through the years in all the areas of their financial life, how now they are financially independent, but they didn't start that way. And I think that need is greater today than ever before. What do you do? How do you plan for the future?
Not just living in the moment.
Not just living in the moment, not just turning over what little bit you've got to be invested or buying everything. I mean, there's so many things that the younger generation does wrong, but they're looking for help. They just don't know where to go.
Looking for help. And if you have a question about your situation, call us on the open lines. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680, WPTF and WPTF.com. If you happen to be sitting by your computer, you can log on to WPTF.com and live stream and join us on the show tonight. Call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF, that's 860-9783. And if you're out of town, it is toll free at 1-800-662-7979.
Vic, Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, how can I help you?
I'm going to be selling stock in a company in the next couple of weeks as one of the major stockholders. It's going to be a cash settlement. Be a significant amount of money, and I am not up to date on the current capital gains situation and whether or not I can reinvest it and not pay the capital gains or how I can minimize my tax burden.
Yeah, you need to be up to date because it may have an enormous effect one way or the other. Give me some numbers, Vic. I can help you with it. First of all, is it a C-Corp or an S-Corp?
It's a S-Corp.
It's an S-Corp. And you're the majority shareholder?
No, I'm a majority shareholder, but less than 50%. We're looking at about $750,000 here.
All right, that's your portion, or that's the entire?
No, that's my portion.
That's your portion.
Is it going to be an asset sale or a stock sale?
It's an asset sale.
It makes an enormous difference if your buyer can be prevailed upon to buy with cash the stock rather than just the assets. A huge difference.
What is the difference?
The difference may be as much as half.
Oh, that's a significant difference.
Yeah. Let's go through the numbers a little bit, and I'll see if I can help you. It's about a $750,000 settlement.
To me, yes.
To you. And what's the basis? Is there any basis at all left?
No, there's no basis.
All right. First thing you have to realize is there will be about $173,000.
And when is that due?
That's due immediately. Okay. But then in addition to that, there will be another tax, which I can't compute with you over the air, but it may be as much as between half and that amount again at the corporate level. And that depends upon, I have to go ahead and look at your S Corporation AAA account balance to find out retained earnings and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That number at the office, by the way, is 919-872-7000. 919-872-7000. Now, the bad news is, let's say ballpark, who knows, you might be losing about $260,000 out of the $750,000, and you might end up with $490,000. Okay? All right. Now, let's go through the numbers for a little bit, and I can show you how you can avoid the taxes. First of all, you take one position and you say, if I have $750,000, and if I could somehow magically keep all of it, then how much could I reinvest and get out of it? So let's say that you could go ahead and reinvest the whole $750,000,
mm-hmm.
All right, and you could put it into mutual funds that historically have shown you a 10% total return.
Sure.
All right, okay. So $750,000 there times your 10%, all right, that's a $75,000 annual, at least starting out.
Right.
All right. The other way, if you ended up with, let's say, $490,000.
Well, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Okay. So the difference then in terms of the growth might be $49,000 versus $75,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if you go ahead and you establish a 664 tax-free trust, you can transfer the stock before you sell it into this trust. Now the whole $750,000 of stock is in the trust. You with me?
Right.
Your buyer can buy it. He can buy the stock. If he will buy the stock, then the whole $750,000 that he pays you will end up in this trust without any taxes at all. That's because a 664 trust qualifies as a charitable, non-taxable entity because you are setting up this trust designed in such a way that after a period of time, one day, it will go either to a charity, a nonprofit, a university, or a family charitable foundation. That period of time can be as long as you want. It can be after you. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
It can be after both you and your wife have passed away. It can even go into the lives of children. That's the best story. Now, the next question is, well, what happens to the money inside the trust if you're able to do it this way, right?
Right.
All right. The trustee will invest it and control it. So the real question is, who will be the trustee? My advice is, and the kind that I do for my clients, I make you the trustee.
It's a self-trustee trust.
So you basically give the stock from your left hand to your right hand, and then your right hand sells the stock, and your right hand pays no taxes. Your right hand reinvests the money, and now the $75,000 that first year is accumulating in your trust, just like a retirement plan. Think of it as a KIA or an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, how old are you?
49.
49 years old. The rules on retirement plans, as you know, say that under age 59 and a half, if you take money out, you have to pay a 10% penalty. In such a retirement plan as a 664 trust, you do not. You can take money out under age 59 and a half and pay no penalty. Also, you can leave it in after age 70 and a half, which you can't with the other kind of retirement plan, and again pay no penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you wanted to leave it in there for the next 10 years. You're 49 now. Let's say you wanted to leave it till you're 59 because you say you don't need it to live on.
I don't need it to live on. Now, you know, the other part of that scenario is if I could reinvest it, maybe I could turn it two or three times.
Yes. For example, using that 10% times the $750,000, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, in 10 years, that would be about $2 million.
But who ultimately gets the money then?
You and your wife will get all the income off it.
Right.
All the growth of the principal, if you want.
Right. When you work real hard and then somebody comes in and confiscates two-thirds of what you've made.
Right.
you know, that's not only is it frightening, but it also can tend to infuriate somebody.
It can, and it can be a strong deterrent, unfortunately. I had a real sad one. I've had a number of these. I do an awful lot of these type of 664 trusts, and I like them. I think they're one of the most powerful vehicles in the world. But very few people know how to work with them. And then those few that do not understand the power of being your own trustee.
Mm-hmm.
That's
sure.
The crucial issue. In other words, universities and charities and hospitals promote these to their benefactors.
Their alumni and all
mm-hmm,
that.
Sure.
But they basically say, give us your stock.
Yeah.
We'll be in control and we'll go ahead and do it tax free for you and then give you basically a retirement income for the rest of your lives.
Right.
But the investment then is out of your control. Now, the social capital portion, there isn't a person out there who's trying to whack away at you. It's basically your obligation to go ahead and help society, if you will. The problem is, it's that the loss of control for most people, they just let their social capital be used through the tax vehicle.
Right.
On the other hand, you do have the right under current law to direct your social capital, even if you can't keep it. And the power to direct the social capital becomes a very, very significant a tool that you can use to leave a lasting influence on your community, to make more for yourself, more for your family, to benefit more. If you think about that $260,000, let's say, that was going to go away. And by the way, it's not only that tax. There's another tax that happens after your death. You see?
Right.
So then you got that last piece that's going to go. Well, whatever that total number is, trace it in your mind, if you will, about where it goes. It's going to be taken up through taxes, and then there'll be bureaucratic levels taken off it, and then it's going to go to help some areas of the economy or of society, if you will. There's nobody there who's just eating it all up after the bureaucrats get it. It's going to go ahead and either house the poor or the elderly or take care of the common good of society.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
yes, indeed. Supposedly.
Ultimately,
yeah.
That's right. And that's exactly right. But you know, you have the right to become what we call an economic citizen. A person who regains control of your social capital.
Mm-hmm.
And that really touches upon the area of personal significance, because some people accomplish success early in life and others work most of their lives to accomplish it. But in either case, once success is accomplished, and yes, you've accomplished your own degree of success, then the human seems to strive for an even greater accomplishment, which we call personal significance. You know, for a selected few, significance is attained, you know, by political careers and military career. But for most people, however, philanthropy is the ultimate path to ongoing significance.
Yeah, because you can share, you can help a lot more people, and you're swinging with a little bit bigger bat that way.
Right, right. And if you grasp this concept of a 664 charitable trust, then you can go ahead and personally and powerfully impact your own community by directly supporting the services and the institutions that are going to perpetuate the principles and the values that most accurately reflect your own values. You see what I'm saying? In other words, in effect, you can become a philanthropist one of two ways, either by paying taxes, you mm-hmm. default to the government and you're a philanthropist that way, or you can be certain that the goals that you have in your own values are actually accomplished.
So with a 664 trust, you become your own bureaucrat.
That's exactly right. You become your own bureaucrat, and you direct where you want to have the greatest influence upon society. Right. For some people, it may be a Habitat for Humanity or cancer research or a perpetual foundation in your own name that would go on to educate children of lesser means from another country, or whatever it is that has deep feelings for you.
But to be clear about this, then, let's say as an example that the interest that was generated off of this 664 trust was,
yes,
pick a number, say $90,000 a year.
Yes.
That would accrue directly to me.
Yes.
Right.
It all can go to you in one of two ways. It can go to you immediately, And by the way, it's paid to you by the trustee, so be comfortable. You're the trustee, okay?
Right.
All right. But number two, it can accrue and compound and be paid to you later on when you need it more, which gives it the ability to grow into a larger principal.
Right.
And even that growth in the principal can come out and go to you.
Right.
So you basically control it. You need to have a couple of pieces in play. You need to have what's called an independent third-party administrator who does the tax reporting to the IRS that shows you're not playing any hanky-panky.
Right.
But if you have that in place, you can indeed be your own trustee, and you can go ahead and really use this thing in a wonderful way.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time.
If you want to call us at the office, the number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000. And thanks for your call, Vic.
Okay, terrific. Well, have a good evening.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
And visit our website at Lewis Financial Management, LLC, at lfmadvisor.com. Are you tired of trying to be a stock trader? Have you recently lost a spouse and feeling overwhelmed? Or are you nearing retirement? If so, call us on the open lines with your questions. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. Call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. Toll free, it's 1-800-662-7979. Well, Doug, a very interesting caller.
Yes, yes,
very
indeed.
Sophisticated strategy for those of our listeners that are land rich and cash poor.
A lot of ways to turn something that looks like a lemon into lemonade and to produce an income stream for yourself. Learning how to use trusts is a very powerful tool, and the 664 Trust is one of the most powerful.
Some of our listeners are sitting on or have, you know, inherited the family farm, have lived on it for, you know, decades.
You can use the trust for farms. You can use the trust for stock portfolios. You can use the trust for anything that has
real
grown
estate.
In value, businesses,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Real estate at the beach, et cetera. So call us, and we'd love to hear your questions. Well, Doug, there was another interesting article that was in Financial Advisor magazine. And the title of this article was Rules of Dumb.
Rules of Dumb. That probably was referencing Chuck Chaffee at the Market Watch. He had written an article, said 7 rules of thumb that make little sense. And what he was referring to was the blanket advice that so often is given to consumers. I mean, you know, some people who call themselves advisors, Linda, use rules that just dumb down the profession, you might say. Things like this, like subtract your age from 100 to determine the percentage of stock in your portfolio. Bad, bad rule of dumb. Plan on spending 75% of your current income during retirement. I mean, these are nonsense things. Purchase 5 times your annual income in life insurance. Save 10% of your income while you're working. All these little quick rules, hopefully no real financial planning professional would actually be doing them. But there were other things that are really sort of concerning right now. A lot of people say, a lot of planners are saying, take 4% of your portfolio. It's a safe withdrawal rate. And that's how much should be coming out to support you. That is extremely impractical.
And why is that, Doug?
Well, although people say it, and there's a lot of articles now that are quoting it, it just doesn't work. Planning for each individual situation is the only way to do it. It's got to be on a case-by-case basis. Everybody is different. You need to be planning for each individual client. Then you need to be reviewing it on a regular basis. And then on the basis of what is needed by that client, that's how much you take
determine.
Out.
would be a safe withdrawal rate.
That's what you take out. You don't just go ahead and automatically set up a, let's do a 4%. That's not financial planning.
A one size fits all.
Right. That, no, that doesn't work. And that's one of the rules of dumb, I guess you might say. There's another thing, and I've seen this myself, where it says wealthy people don't need financial planning. Middle class people can't afford it. What do you think about that?
Well, we must disagree on both counts, because there are many fine financial planners who bill for their services hourly, and they do specialize in middle class clients.
Like us.
So to suggest that wealthy people don't need planning is just simply wrong.
Because that's not understanding what planning is. The wealthier the individual, the more complicated his or her issues are. So another one of those dumb statements, the wealthy don't need it and middle class can't afford it. That's wrong.
Another thing, people spend money on a lot of things, on what they want. And if you stop and think about it, planning, you know, when you accumulate assets over your lifetime, it's worth it to pay for advice, to get answers to your questions.
Yeah, another one of those quick little answers that people look for, and they hear high allocation to bonds will reduce risk. And that's really wrong also. I mean, it just depends on how you define risk. But, I mean, I've seen all kinds of illustrations showing how fast you can run out of your money. If you live one day beyond that date on your screen, then did you reduce risk or not? No, that's bond allocations do not necessarily reduce risk.
Running out of money before you run out of life.
That's the way some people define it. I don't agree with that. Another thing is you hear this, like accumulating wealth is the major purpose of financial planning. That's just wrong. That is just, that's not true, because as financial planners, we need to take the time to truly understand our clients' goals and wishes and then help them develop and follow the plan that gets them to where they want to be. Accumulating a large estate to leave to a legacy may be what they want, but to assume that everybody wants to die rich is not true financial planning. That's just not what it's all about. There's some of our clients who could care less, and they really are much more interested in enjoying the maximum type of financial independence while they are in their retirement years, and then letting it go to charity afterwards.
And gifting, planning strategies for gifting, whether it be to their children or to their alma mater, etc. Whatever the situation may be, it is important, isn't it, Doug, to work with a certified financial planner that can help you plan your life. Because what we do in financial planning is we prepare financial plans to assist people in looking at what are their present goals, what are their future goals, and how to arrive at financial independence.
It's really personalized. It has to be personalized.
Definitely. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF and WPTF.com. Call us on the open lines if you've got a question about your situation, and make sure that financial planning is on your checklist this year in 2012. Don't procrastinate this year. A lot of people are getting ready to prepare their tax returns. And don't wait till the last minute. And if you've got a question about any financial issue in your life, call us at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. Toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And visit our website at lfmadvisor.com.
Well, what do we do next, Lynn?
Well, Doug, with regard to IRA distributions, when a person becomes 70 and a half, how do you know how to take the money out of your IRA?
That's a real interesting question. A lot of people want to know, don't they, Linda? You know, an IRA is a very interesting vehicle because you need to know how to get the most out of it, and it depends on what age you are. First of all,
There are three methods that let you get money out of an IRA penalty-free. Did you know that? You can get money out of an IRA before you're 59 and a half years old and pay no 10% penalty. And this is important for people who are taking early retirement. They want to know, what do? I'm taking early retirement, but is there a way that I can get to my IRA or my 401k or my TDSP and not pay that 10% penalty? And yes, there is. And that's the substantially equal periodic payment story. Now, there are three methods to compute this feature available. But basically, what the rule says is that you can take money out of your IRA or your retirement plan penalty-free if you set up a payment schedule based on a single life expectancy or a joint life expectancy. And that payment must be made to you every year, at least annually, and they have to continue for the later of 5 years or up until age 59 and a half, whichever is the longest period. Now, if you fulfill those three methods, those three conditions, you don't have to worry about that 10% penalty.
So you have to fulfill those conditions.
Right. You've got to set up a payment schedule that never changes.
Right. It's a fixed amount. Huh?
Right. And it's got to go until you're 59 and a half or 5 years, the longer of the two periods. But now that brings you down to, what's that payment method?
Well, what is?
Well, this is where the IRS gives you three choices. They give you, one, the life expectancy method. Number two, they give you the amortization method. And number three, they give you the annuitization method. And it's quite important to know how to work with those different formulas, because you have three choices on setting this thing up.
Life expectancy method?
Yeah, it means how long you expect to live. The life expectancy method. This method is determined by dividing the individual's balance in his IRA by his life expectancy. And you can also include your spouse's life expectancy to get a joint life. And this amount has to be redetermined each year based on that amount, and so forth. Now, this method is the same one that you use when you get to be 70 and a half, by the way. This is what we call the minimum distribution method. But this method, that if you use this method, this will give the smallest dollar amount of the three. You got three methods you can choose. If you use the life expectancy method, and remember, once you set this method up, you can't change it. You can't change it. Once you set up this method, you can't change it for 5 years or age 59 and a half, the longer of the two periods.
So it'll be the smallest amount, or the smallest.
If you use this, if you need a small figure, this would be the one to choose. Second method is called the amortization method. Now, the amortization method also gives you a level payment, and it's determined by amortizing the balance over the life expectancy of the individual at what's called a reasonable interest rate. Now, that reasonable interest rate is determined by IRS guidelines, and they say that you can be anywhere within 80 to 120% of the federal midterm rate. So you can do some, you work with your financial planner, and if you use the amortization method, you can sort of fudge a little bit here and there to find out what is the dollar amount you need for your living expenses to get out, what you need, because you can't change it. If you do change it, anytime in that period, every dollar you've taken out in the past for the last X number of years is going to be hit with a 10% penalty. The third one is the annuitization method. This method also gives you level payments. And this method will work very similar to the amortization method. One of these two is going to be the best one for early retirees. It's got to be based on your living expense need, whereas the first method is the best one for people 70 and a half. It's important to work with a financial planner to figure out what is best for you, because you can't change it.
To any of our listeners, if you have a question or if you would like to receive our introductory packet of information, I'll be happy to send it to you. Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That is USA 7000. If you have some financial planning concerns or questions about your situation, get a notebook and start jotting down some of those questions and work with a financial planner.
Well, Doug, what about simple index funds?
There's a real story that's starting to surface, Linda. You know, index funds for a long time have been hailed as a great way for solid performance, low fees, transparency. I have never been in favor of index funds, but that's really what's been out there as the
the attraction to them. Right now, studies are starting to surface that the index funds themselves may be complicating the market, actually destabilizing the market. And that's because there is so much movement in the amongst the index funds. So it's sort of like a bunch of fish now that are moving in together, sort of like a school, move to the left, move to the right. All the index funds are now moving up and down together, according to several studies, and that actually is self-defeating. Then you're no longer getting a true performance of the market. Now, personally, I don't ever think you should have index funds, because I'd like to see a manager whose goal is beating the index, not just riding the index. And that's the way I think you should be selecting your funds, by selecting managers, how they have done against indexes. But right now, this whole story of index funds and ETFs being a destabilizing factor, even Mr. Bogle, you know, John Bogle, he's the head of Vanguard, and they are handling about $999 billion in index funds and ETFs. Even he is not disputing that stocks have been moving together much more than they ever used to because of this. It's sort of like there is so much that can move so fast now. Investors, they've got itchy fingers. They can quickly move in nanoseconds in and out of index
really
funds.
Really complicating the markets.
Yeah, so you don't have a true picture. So I'm glad to see the negative stories that are coming out about, be careful, index funds and ETFs may not at all be what you think they are and may not be to your financial health.
That was an article in the Wall Street Journal.
That came
it?
From the Wall Street Journal, and that was, what's his name, Jason somebody or the Jason.
Zweig. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the guy who always, he writes really good articles. That was Jason Zweig who came up with that story.
So you're saying that you do not favor ETFs.
No, because ETFs are the exact opposite.
Funds.
Yeah, I think we should have our money in the hands of managers who are using fundamental research, why they feel in their portfolio, why they might like John Deere, or why they might like Caterpillar, or why they might like Microsoft. Not let's start timing in and out, in and out, in and out. That is, you know, buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell. And that's what ETFs are. ETFs actually move as a stock. It's like a mutual fund, but they're being traded as stocks. They're exchange-traded funds is what they are. So I don't like the ETFs, and I don't like the index funds. I think that we should really have a much more logical way of selecting, and it should be by managers who are competing with indexes.
So don't be confused by all of what's happening, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of marketing going out there saying, you know, you can do it yourself. Just get a whole bunch of ETFs, or get a whole bunch of index funds, or wrap them in a wrap account, and we'll play with them for you.
Trade on your own. You can make a lot of money, fast money. Financial planning is more than just your investments, isn't it, Doug?
It is.
And so we need to look at all of the aspects.
That's
of
right.
Your financial world, not just the investment portion.
That's crucial. That's crucial. When you get really right down to it, when they meet with us in our office, Linda, many of the times when you ask them to give a list of questions, what do they want addressed today? It may be, what about my mortgage? Should I refinance or not refinance my mortgage? It may be, what about my kids' college? I've got money in a 529 plan. Should I continue or not continue towards their college? It may be, what about my insurance? We hear that a lot, you know. Or should I, what about this annuity sales that I've been listening to? Does that make sense? There's so many other issues.
You know, and there's also a lot of folks that, a lot of parents that have been so diligent over their lifetime supporting their children. And they didn't plan, well, they didn't plan as probably as well as they could have, because they've been paying for their college education for all their children. And they're sitting on a lot of equity in their home. And it's very common for us to see that, you know, a lot of folks, think, well, we're going to downsize, and but we don't have enough to live on in retirement.
And so what do I do?
Right. And some people just don't realize that maybe you can rent instead of buy.
Boy, that shocks, that shocks a lot of people. Nothing wrong with it, though.
Shock their socks off. Okay, you're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. And if you've got questions about your situation, you can call us at our office during the week in Raleigh at 919-872-7000. It's USA 7000 at Lewis Financial Management. And if you'd like to ask us a question this evening, call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783 and toll free 1-800-662-7979.
You know, Lynn, another topic that has been really confusing to the public is the matter of mutual fund shares and share classes and the fees of the different classes. And I think instead of people being more aware, well, they may be more aware, but they're certainly more confused, I would say. Right now, we have all kinds of shares out there, and there's all kinds of options when you buy your mutual fund. So you can buy A shares, sometimes B shares, C shares, F1, F2 shares. All these are ways to get the same mutual fund. And so the question that so many people are wondering about when they're asked, what share class do you have or why do you have it? They want to know, well, I don't know. Is there a difference? And there's a big difference.
There is a difference, isn't there?
The three most common share classes of mutual funds, Class A, Class B, and Class C, are sold to the public in a wrong way, in my opinion.
And why is that, Doug?
Well, A shares are sold as front-end load. B and C shares are very often sold as no-load mutual funds, no commission. Now, a lot of companies have dropped B shares totally because it was really abusive being sold that way.
The article quoted as saying that FINRA has stepped up enforcement actions against brokers that are doing are selling big ticket sales of B shares that would have qualified for A share discounts, because if you purchase an A-share mutual fund, the greater amount of money that you invest, the lower the commission that is paid by the investor.
So we have to go back and say, all right, if I like this particular mutual fund manager, if I've studied his or her track record, and he's outperformed the index, and he's done very well, and I'm very comfortable with his long-term record, then right away you can buy that fund either as A shares or C shares now. Those are the most two most common. So on the surface, when you start looking at it, you say, well, what's the difference? The broker might tell you A shares have a load and C shares don't. You're buying no load. And it sounds like, oh, that's a no-brainer.
A commission, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sounds like, well, I mean, doesn't that sound like an obvious decision what to do? You can buy it either with or without a commission.
Without.
Sure. And that's the way so many of these C-share funds are sold. But inside the prospectus, there's more information.
The rest of the story.
There is the rest of the story. That's right. All right. What's the rest of the story?
The rest of the story is that if you purchase the C-share, that if you come out of it,
it is the internal fee, the 12B1 fees. The 12B1 fees on C shares happen every year, and sometimes they're three times or four times higher than A shares. So let's say that you buy a fund that is A shares, and you pay an upfront sales charge, but then every year for the next 15 years, your fees inside the fund are one-third to one-quarter of what the C shares would be. The studies show you've hurt yourself. You would have made much more money by having the A shares.
Because especially if you are investing a large amount.
Doesn't matter what the
amount.
Well, okay, right. Okay, well, that's another side of the story. You're right, Lim. But that's only the upfront sales charge. I'm talking about the once you pay the sales charge, it doesn't matter 20 years down the road. What matters is how much you've accumulated in your fund.
Exactly.
And if you look at the impact of those 12B1 fees on C shares, they are much higher.
Now,
so personally, I think almost always you should try to get A shares because
now
they
clarify what is that 12B1 fee.
Well, the 12B1 fee, it's a type of a marketing or service fee, and it's really for it's part of the
operational
cost
exactly
of the fund. We have things like the manager's salary and the rent and all of the expenses of running the fund, and then there is this marketing expense. And it can be what's called a 12B1 fee. It's all part of the operational cost. But my point is, A shares almost always turn out much better for you because the fees are so much lower inside the fund. Okay, let's see. What do we have next?
It's important, Doug, to look at the big picture and to get an education about what are the funds that you should have in your portfolio and why, what is your risk tolerance, right?
Yeah.
And what are the charges? And, you know, many folks that come in to see us, sometimes they've come to see us because they were very unhappy with their last advisor. And in some cases, they've never worked with an advisor. Maybe they inherited some money, or maybe an event happens like dad's got to go to the nursing home. We've got to make some decisions.
We're hearing a lot of those, the sandwich generation questions.
All kinds of situations that are coming up. But the problem is either there's not a full disclosure by some of the people out there that are, quote, giving advice about what they're selling. And so people are in the dark. Or people are just diligently working and they've invested their money but have no clue what are the fees being assessed to their portfolio. Right?
Mm-hmm. Another one of the things along that line of those who are still working are the 401ks. Because the 401ks, a lot of people are over-contributing, thinking they're helping themselves, just because they've been told that it saves taxes, and that's not a right answer very often. Sometimes you're hurting yourself by contributing too much to your 401k.
So whatever these kinds of questions to all of our listeners, jot them down and work with a certified financial planner. You can call us at Lewis Financial Management. We'll be happy to see what your situation is, and then we can send you an introductory packet, and we can assist you with addressing your financial planning issues in this new year.
Yeah, I would like to think that more people take control this year than last year, because it's looking like a very good year, but there's a lot of major issues that are going to be affecting people. A lot of downsizing of jobs and things like that. That has to be looked at proactively.
And many of our senior citizens that are approaching 70 and a half are going to be making sure that they are taking their required minimum distribution.
You know, there's a 50% penalty, Linda. There's a 50% tax penalty if you don't get the right amount out after you're 70 and a half. That required minimum distribution, if you miss that by any amount, you get hit by a 50% penalty.
So it's important to work with your advisor or your retirement benefits people to make sure that you get the calculation that you should take out.
Mm-hmm.
And not get penalized.
Yeah, there's so many issues that are in front of people right now that you sort of go in circles. You come right back to the question of, well, with all the tax changes, do I need to do something about my estate? Whatever happened to the trust in my living trust? Do I need to make a change? And yes, there are some changes that have to happen, but if you don't look at them, playing the ostrich game, putting your head in the sand, certainly isn't going to solve anything.
So work with a certified financial planner and call us. We can help you. Everyone have a great week.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.